We're okay. Can you please release the kit? Be in your way.
Okay.
Well, if you want to start.
I'm starting. I'm ready.
Okay.
Hello. Good evening.
Yes, fine.
Good.
Hi.
Hey, shalom, good evening. I assume that the many of the members of the Tina community have spent Sukkot in Eretz Yisrael. Is that so? So you were acquainted to some extent with Shemitah. May I ask, what did you do? You waited in a hotel or you...
In the local supermarket.
Otzer Beide. Okay. Anybody else who was in Israel? And, what did you say?
I said I think the same supermarket you might
have. You were in Beit Shemesh?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good luck.
I was there in August and I bought a square amo of karka for my son.
Yeah, and you think that's Shemitah, right?
It is more than that.
What did you do?
I was rich.
And what did you do?
I didn't go to the supermarket.
How did you go to the supermarket?
I went to the restaurant.
And did you check there in the restaurant?
What? Yes, and I did
that. Petra Mitzvah. Huh? Okay, I'll try to explain, okay? I must say, as living in Israel and coming here, even though we're only in the beginning of Shemitah and Cheshvan, it's striking that there's no Shemitah here. And one of the, perhaps this year, the difference, I'm talking an experiential level now, of feeling a difference of, I would say, the atmosphere regarding the observance of Mitzvot HaTliyot Ba'aretz and of Kashrut is, I think, more evident than in other years. I would also add that for me, this is my sixth Shemitah since I came on Aliyah. So later on, check my age if you want to check if it's true. My first Shemitah was the Shemitah of Tavshin Lamed Gimel, 1973, and now it's my sixth Shemitah, and I must say that not only because I'm perhaps getting older, but because I really think it's so, I think things are changing this year in Israel regarding how to relate to Shemitah, and I would like to share with you my thoughts about it. And I would add more than that, that as I put in the title of the lecture, I feel that Shemitah today in Israel is one of the major kashrut issues which differentiate between the so-called Haredi community and the so-called, in Israel they're still called Dati Lumi community. When there are such differences, I think even here. For me, coming from Israel here, I think the most obvious and evident difference is regarding Yosham. While I go to my brother in Muncie, or I go to Flatbush, or everything's Yoshen, in Tinek, I feel it less. And when we try to ask ourselves what's behind the difference, it would seem from the Yoshen perspective, I'm not critical, I'm just trying to analyze, that they're trying to be more observant or more careful about a hanhaga which is in a machloket and ever eat chadash yesh lo amal yismoch, but there are different opinions and they would like to observe them. Well, when we come to Shemitah, perhaps it's portrayed in the same way, and I will try to explain it soon, but I feel that's totally different regarding the differences of Shemitah. And over here it's more evident that the differences are really ideological differences, and perhaps Shemitah is bringing out now, I would say out of the closet, fundamental questions regarding Kashrut in general. It's a reflection of deeper questions. How do you relate to Halakha? What are your considerations? And in the next hour, I'll try to share these thoughts together with you. The major question regarding Shemitah is already stated in the Torah. Zechitomro, manochal bashana shvit. While in the Torah, the background is hein lo nizra velo nesof etzvuatenu. The background is that the assumption is that if you observe Shemitah, there's no food, and therefore the Torah's answer is and you will have food from the Shana Shishit. Today, when this question is asked, Manuchal Vashana Shvi'it, nobody has in mind not having food. There is no problem today to supply fruits and vegetables for all the people living in the land of Israel from abroad. In general year, 80% of the agricultural, let's say, products are imported from abroad. There's no problem to bring the next 20% this coming year. And when you ask Manu Chal Bashana Shvi'it, it's asked from a different perspective. And the answer that you give, it depends who you ask. And I'll describe to you the different answers. Some of you have mentioned it. I'm a consumer now. I want to go buy fruits and vegetables for my family. I regularly shop in a supermarket called Shef HaShuk. In Israel, there are big chains, like you have in America, Stop and Shop, etc. So you have a big chain called Haribu HaKachol, the blue square, and they have a sub-chain which is aimed towards the Haredi community. What does that mean? It means that they have a different name. And if you look at the names of Israeli supermarkets, you could perhaps see sociological changes. Till 5-6 years ago, they tried to give an American, like, a taste, try to show you were fancy. Well, today all the names try to say, to have the word cheap inside them. You have Zolpo, and you have Chati Chinam, you know, half price, you know, and all these names. So they usually had a special name which says, like, it's cheap. And they usually have a special echsherim. They have a lot of badate da haredi or other sotai echsherim. And regularly I like to shop there. It's cheap, it's clean, it's a good place to go. And when you walk into their store and now during Shemitah, there's a big sign that says the vegetables are from Nochri. Who is a Nochri in Israel? It's not your neighbor Goyim and Tinek. Nochri in this context usually means some Arabs, partially Israeli Arabs, and partially from the Palestinian Authority. And then they write that the fruits are still all shishik, because the halachic status of fruit is not by picking it, but when it ripens from the tree. And some of the products are still shishik because you don't need them fresh, meaning carrots, potatoes, etc. When I go to the supermarket where you have gone, the so-called Super Atzlacha, that's the American brand name supermarket in Beit Shemesh. You can buy any American, you can eat Ungar's gefilte fish there, you know, anything you want you can buy there. It's just more expensive. Over there they have a hechsher from Otsar Haaretz, which is a hechsher which is given from Machon HaTorah V'Haaretz, Institute of the Torah and the Land, which was stationed until 2 years ago in Kfar Daron, in Gush Katif. Today they're in Ashkelon. And over there you have a totally different experience. You walk in, and on top of every box in the vegetable department, it would say what its halachic status. Those who, in Shef HaShuk HaNochri, over there it says the big sign, Kedushat Shvi'it. Kedushat Shvi'it today is mostly on the cucumbers, tomatoes, red peppers, meaning whatever's fresh and was picked by Jews in Jewish fields after Rosh Hashanah, meaning during the Shemitah. You'll ask me, how could they do it? It's usher. So I'll explain later what's the content of Otsar Beis Din. And then the rest is more or less the same, meaning they have a lot of shishit there, so no Kedushat Shvi'it, but it would say there's low Kedushat Shvi'it, meaning treated regularly. And those, as I described before, are not fresh, etc., so they're not. And these are like two total different options. The two answers to the question, Manu Chal Bashana Shvi'it, I did not find in the supermarkets in Beit Shemesh, where I live, where I regularly go, anyone who offers Hetzel Mechira. It's not offered as an option, meaning even if I want to, I would have to like search for it really hardly. In Yerushalayim, I walked to a supermarket in Sukkot, and here I'll just describe to you what I've seen. And then I'll try to explain what's behind these different choices, the different answers to the question, what should we eat? I walked into a supermarket on Shai Agnon Street in Yerushalayim. It's in Katam, whatever is familiar. And over there, they had a fruits and vegetables that it said, Hetzer Mechira, and the certificate of the Kashrut is not signed by the chief rabbinate of Yerushalayim, because the chief rabbinate of Yerushalayim will not give a hechsher to Hetzer Mechira. It's signed by the rabbinate of the regional council of Matei Yehuda. Matei Yehuda is in the area of Beit Shemesh, where they have all the little kibbutzim and moshavim. So it's a huge area. It's the biggest regional council in Israel. And over there, the rabbinate sits in the same office as the rabbinate of Yerushalayim. They have the same mashgichim, but they sign a certificate because the rabbi of Yerushalayim will not sign it. Neither like the Shabbos Goy or the rabbi of Yerushalayim. So as you can see, there are different approaches to how to observe Shemitah. There are different answers to the question, Manuchal Bashana Shvit. And as I have mentioned before, I would like on the one hand to try to explain what's behind it, and also to try to share with you some insights on something that has changed this Shemitah, I'm saying, that makes it different than previous Shemitot. Okay, and I will start with the, I would say, traditional question, going back to Heter Mechira. That is the old question raised already in the first Shemitah since the Aliyah Rishonah started in the 1880s. Shemitah of Tafresh Mantet, 1889, when the question was raised, what should we do? And that year, Rav Yitzchak Elchanan from Kovna, together with a lot of the Gedolei HaPoskim, Rav Yeshua Mikutna from Poland, and many other poskim, then they established the Heter Mechira, which the halachic foundation is that land owned by Goyim has no Kedushas HaAretz, and therefore there's no Chiyuv of Shvi'is. And the Heter later on was adapted by Rav Kook and by the Chief Rabbinate. And every Shemitah, the Chief Rabbinate, since the establishment of the State of Israel, has debated before on Shishis what to do. And every year they have signed the Heter Mechira, re-signed it, until this year, when things became more complicated, and I'll relate to that soon. I already mentioned to you, Chief Rabbinate of Yerushalayim will not approve it. That is traditionally what would happen in Shemitah, and I would say that perhaps until 20 years ago, every Shemitah, there was only one question. Heter Mechira, yes? Heter Mechira, no. Now, who needs the Heter Mechira? So I mentioned before that 80% of agriculture products in Israel are imported all the time from abroad. I just was in the Berman's house. You have a Milky there, right? Well, you should know that in Israel is a milk empire. The Rifatot and the Kibbutzim are known for their high quality of milk, and most of the agricultural products which are developed in Israel and sold in Israel are milk products. And I'll also give you some numbers that I got from the Agricultural Ministry. Only 1.4% of Israel's GNP is agricultural products, when only 1.6 of the workforce are working in agriculture. I'll translate into numbers. 20,000 farmers, together with their workers, 67,000 employees. And the assumption is that, again, Israel can supply its food supply, even if they won't buy from them this year. Meaning, Kav Yochol, you can be Mekayim Shemitah. But the experts assess that in a world where the economy is globalized and where many of the products are exported, the moment you're 1 year out of the market, somebody else will take it. But eventually, if the agriculture will stop functioning for 1 year, that it will collapse. And I would translate it into two terms which are mentioned in the public discussion. One is it good to have a society that has no self-supply of food? Even if it's only 20%, is it a wise thing to do? Some talk in categories of values. We want a society which is detached from the land, even though it's a small percentage. I'll also give you money, okay? I mean, it sounds not a lot, 1.4% of the GNP, but it's 10 billion shekel. When since the dollar now is very low, you know, the dollar is 4.2, it's $2.5 billion. That's a lot of money, right, Menachem? You count money all day, right? You're a banker, no? That's a lot of money. You know.
What percentage of Israel
exports? Well, I'm not an expert. I'm just bringing you numbers that I heard from a guy named Rachmiel Golding, who works in the Ministry of Agriculture. But this is just to give some perspective. Meaning, what I would say is that the farmers definitely need the Heter Mechira. Meaning, when we think, what was the approach to Shemitah during all these years? So there were basically, I would say, three approaches. One approach is Yibore Koach Osei Dvaro. It's a hard mitzvah, and we will be heroes, and we'll observe it. That was observed, I would say, by minorities. There are one or two, you know, Moshavim of Tai who did it. But they collected, you know, those year money from Chutz La'aretz. And I would say that's not a solution for all Israeli agriculture. It's for a yichidit gula maybe. It's not on a, when you think of a scale of a national economy, it's just not possible. The Chazon Ish's approach was to be makel as much as possible in the melachos which are usher and shvis. Chazon Ish did not adapt the heter mechira, but the Chazon Ish, who a lot of the psak today, halacha lemais, the mitzvos atlius baaretz, based upon a lot of the psakim of the Chazon Ish, was very aware of the functionality of halacha and the necessity for it to be something which can be implemented realistically within life. And the Chazon Ish's approach was not to use heter mechira, but to try to minimize the surim of shvis. That's the Chazon Ish's approach. And the more common approach, which was, as I mentioned before, adapted by Rav Kook and later on by all the chief rabbis of Israel, was heter mechira. That's from the perspective, I would say, of the farmers. Now, what is the problemacy, or what's the debate behind heter mechira? So I would mention that there are, perhaps in the past, there were two reservations regarding heter mechira. And I think that this past Shemitah, we're hearing the third one, which is like a new voice, a new fresh voice among Israeli religious community. I will start with the two traditional reservations from heter mechira. One is it valid? Okay, you sell the land to a goy. Is it really true that yesh kinyan lenochri lapkia mekdushas haaretz? I can mention that Beis HaLevi, my great-great-great-grandfather, Reb Yosher Ber thought that yesh kinyan la'akum lafkia from mitzvos atluyos ba'aretz is only in the place where the kedusha of the aretz is drabanan. But when the kedusha is d'oraisa and the mitzvah is drabanan, which that's what he thought regarding Eretz Yisrael towards mitzvot atluyos ba'aretz, Reb Yosher Ber thought that ein kinyan lenochri lafkia. I mean, he thought even if you sell it to a goy, it doesn't change anything. The truth is that today we know that the right Nusach and the Rambam is the Kedusha Saris today in Eretz Yisrael for Mitzvah of Leiz Baritz is the Rabbanon. That's what Reb Chaim thought too. Reb Chaim really thought, it's a big secret, I can tell you, I heard it from the Rav, Reb Chaim thought the Heter Mechira is valid. I will add more, the Rav thought so too. I've seen him with my own eyes, a letter that he wrote in the 60s saying the Heter Mechira is valid. It's not worse than Mechira's Chametz. That's what he writes there. You want to say something?
Yeah. If the heter is not valid because I sold the land 2 months ago, then what's the difference of the Arab who bought the land 800 years ago?
In a chenami. There's no difference. In that letter that I've seen from the Rav, he wrote in the 60s, the Rav writes, there's no difference between the land owned by a guy for years and if you sold it to him now. Meaning, what he claims in that letter is that to eat from a land owned by a Nochri in Eretz Yisrael does not solve Shemitah problems. No difference in the Heter Mechira. If you want a difference, go to Chutz La'aretz. That's the true difference. Okay? Now, that is one question. I mean, there was a long time debate among post-game, is it valid or not? There was a second type of reservation, which I would not be Mekel Rosh. That is it done properly? It's a type of a harama. Is it done properly? You should know that by Israeli law, you cannot sell goy to a non-Jew, a land to a non-Jew. I would add, the land is not owned by private people in Israel. It belongs to an organization called Minhal Mekarkei Israel. And the truth is that it's illegal to sell the land. So let's assume that if you sold the land to a goy, that it's out there from Shviz. But is the land sold? I mean, you're a lawyer. I mean, it's a real question. You should know that Rav Druckman, when he was a member of the Knesset in the 80s, before the Shemitah of 87, he was aware of this problem, and he passed the law that you cannot sell, that even though by Israeli law you cannot sell land to private people, and it's all done to avoid land shifting to non-Jewish hands, but if it's done in order to help Shemitah, it's mutter, that means it's valid legally. So that's another question, is it done properly? Now, there's a third question, and that is it a good idea to do so? I mean, there are many who oppose Heter Mechira because they claim it's Lo Techunein. There's an Isser, meaning, if you're over in Lo Techunein, it doesn't mean that the sale is not valid, it's not mafkia from Mitzvah Satluyos Baaretz, but is it mutter to do so? And therefore, the traditional approach of those opposed to Heter Mechira was the tense is a machloket between poskim, is it good or bad? I'm going back to Yashan and Chodesh and Chutzpah. It's a very similar to in its template. Since there's a machloket between Rabbi Yosher Ber and Rabbi Zichel Chanan, and I want to be a perfect Jew who's nakpi through the kaim as much as possible shitos, I want to bump into anybody when I go to Gan Eden, you know, meet Rabbi Yosher Ber, and he'll say to me, I thought it's not good. So therefore, you avoid it. I mean, if I have a better solution, which I don't put my head into a machloket, so I'm better off. And since nochri is no problem, meaning, just assuming your question, okay, but since in their eyes, in nochri, I avoid the question of lo techunem, I avoid the question, is it really sold to him, etc. So I'm better off buying from a nochri. That's the traditional approach. I can tell you that as a child, yes, please.
It
could be the mixing up, so help me.
The Yikar issue of Shmita is the farmers. The consumers is only a secondary issue.
Exactly.
So when somebody's saying I'm going to worry about one, so you have to answer the question to the farmer.
Right. So let's now take what you said, let's try to get to the question. Meaning, the Hetem Mechira is the only, perhaps traditionally was considered the only solution for the farmer. Halachically, I mentioned here, it's questionable, or it's in debate, okay? There's a machloket about it. Now here comes one of the fundamental questions, and that is, when I'm a consumer in the supermarket, what do I have to think about? When I go buy my tomato, do I have to think about the farmer, or do I have to think about my not wanting to be in conflict with your Yosher Ber or Beis Halevi? What do I think? And over here, I'll say that it's raising a question which I think is much more fundamental only by Shemitah. Shemitah is one example of a broader question. What are my considerations? What do I have to put in front of my eyes? I want to be the best Jew I can be. Do I say the best Jew is a Jew who only thinks about not myself and not, as I mentioned before, not putting myself into a place of machloket? Or perhaps thinking about the future of the culture of Israel, thinking about the parnosa of the farmers. Do I have to think of that or not? Now, I was brought up in a house where for years my father has always not bought Hetem Mechira. And I've heard him say many times that Hetem Mechira is problematic. It has to be done. But since there are people who are not so machmir who will buy it, let them eat it. And I'll eat the better off products. So that's an approach which maybe was possible for the past years because there were people who would buy the Hetem Mechira. But things got much more complicated to the Shemitah, and I'll try to explain it to you.
What are the economics of the Hetem Mechira? Is it market-share?
Yeah.
Who sells what? Each person signed up his own farm?
Well, I can describe to you what I know was done this time. What was done in the past, I don't know. This year, the Shemitah year, the rabbi in charge of the Hetem Mechira and Rabbanut, the Rav Zev Weitzman, who's the rabbi of Tnuva, who took it very seriously, and even though, you know, did fast forward in my lecture, even though he's one of the main, forces behind the Otzar Beis Din, he's the first one to do it. He realized last Shemitah that you have to do Hetem Mechira. It's a necessity. What he took upon himself is to do it the best possible way. What does that mean? He made sure, A, that only those who really need Hetem Mechira will do it. Meaning it's not done, you know, automatically. He had representatives of his who met with each farmer. And he tried to make it legal as much as possible. Meaning to really make it with lawyers to make sure that the Mechira is valid. And he also tried to minimize lo techune. For example, he looked for a guy. What?
You haven't described it. What
is lo techune? Lo techune is an isser. Chazal described lo techune. Lo titein lahem chanaya bekarki. You're not allowed to give non-Jews land in Israel. So selling land in Israel to a guy is an isser d'oraisa. Now, what Rav Zev Weitzman did this shmita, he looked for a guy that is considered a Shomer Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach. He found a Druze in the army, who's an officer in the Israeli army, who's not over the Avodah Zarah, and he's not Choshed and Shvichus Damim, doesn't need Abraham Minachai, you know, and he sold it to him. That's what he did. mean, he adapted Heter Mechira, but he tried to do it the best possible way.
Meaning,
yeah. So that's basically trying to, I would say, to minimize the questions regarding is it done properly, but accepting the principle that it has to be done. But here, basically, what Shmita raises is really a very fundamental question, and that is, what considerations do I have to take into my eyes? I mean, what do I have to think of? The farmer is part of my halachic obligation, or my halachic obligation is kamor, you know, not to get involved with Rabbi Yosher Ber and Rabbi Amshuli Mikotno. What's my halachic obligation? Now, you realize that the Haredi answer is that I have to think about having the best halachic top norm. And therefore, it's clear here that the Haredi community has chosen only to think about my personal halachic observance, and the farmers are not part of their considerations. Now, something very fundamental has changed, and that is that the Haredi community, it's under the leadership of Rebbe Yossi, have changed their policy on the level of kashrut in Israel. For years in Israel, there was a difference between the level of kashrut of the so-called Rabbanut and of the Haredi kashrut organizations. The Haredi philosophy was, we want to make sure that our members of our community are supplied with what they want. And why does Rabbanut have a lower standard? Because Rabbanut is obligated to the whole state. And in the state of Israel, there are many people who are not interested in, I would say, in high-level kashrut. And therefore, Rabbanut has to give a lower standard hechsher. And for years, it's been that way. Now, what has changed under the leadership of Rebbe Yashiv, and today the chief rabbi is under Rebbe Yashiv's authority, Rav Metzger, is that Rebbe Yashiv's people today, they are trying to impose that high standard on the whole kashrut system, on everybody. It started, for most of my knowledge, I heard this from Rav Weitman, 7 years ago, when there were 3 days of Rosh Hashanah. So you had this year, you had 3 times 3 days. We'll have Erev Tavshilin, you know, by us in Israel, it's like, to have Erev Tavshilin is like unusual, you know. So this year we had Erev Tavshilin, and I'll describe to you a story that I heard from Rav Weitman, from 2 times ago, that Rosh Hashanah was Thursday, Friday. When you milk the cows, you have to refrigerate the milk. So in the kibbutzim, they have these huge containers which are refrigerated, and then you bring them to the milk centers of Tnuva, to the dairies, in trucks which are refrigerated too. Now, they don't have enough room to store milk from 72 hours of milking, meaning the cows are milked on Yom Tov and Shabbat. We won't discuss now based on how they do it. It's done through grama, nachri, many different ways. All that milk doesn't go to the Mahadrin line, you should know. All that milk is considered not Mahadrin. That's why the milk of the kibbutzim adatiim are all Mahadrin, because they're done with all the halachic regulations. And that year, the manager of Tnuva came over to Rav Weitman, and he said to him, whatever you'll tell me, I'll do. He told me it was the first time in the history of Tnuva that they said they're ready to accept upon themselves any psak that he'll give. And he, together with other rabbanim, they came up with the following suggestion, that on Friday, which is Yom Tov Sheni, which is only drabanan, milk will be driven by goyim, by she'enu Yehudi, to the dairy, to the milk centers of Tnuva, and they will go to the non-Mahadrin line, meaning nobody in Bnei Brak or Yerushalayim will drink that milk. And then Rav Yashin gave a psak that said that he will not agree to accept this psak of Rav Weitman, and that if Tnuva will do that, he will give an order to boycott all Tnuva products. And eventually Tnuva gave in, and that Rosh Hashanah they spilled 5 million liters of milk. And I can tell you from Rav Weitman, he mentioned to me then that was, in his eyes, the turning point in the kashrut policy of the Haredi community in Israel. Meaning they were trying to raise the standard not only for themselves, but for everybody. And this is going on this year now in Shemitah too, when for the first time, even though the chief rabbinate has Rav Weizmann doing Heter Mechira. Six of the big cities in Israel, their chief rabbis refused to sign on a Hechsher and Heter Mechira products, when I'll explain. It's not that they're not ready to call it Mahadrin. They're not ready to give it a Kashrus certificate. It's trace in their eyes. That is Yerushalayim, Tashdod, and four more cities, which I don't remember their names. And I mentioned to you before, the solution in Yerushalayim is to use a Shabbos Goy, meaning to use the rabbinate of Matei Yehuda. It already was an appeal to the Supreme Court last week. Now they're dealing with it. I don't know what the decision will be. But the appeal was to force the rabbinate to call it kosher. Don't call it Mahadrin. But here came and raised a question, which you raised before, and perhaps now there are voices who are claiming, perhaps this is Mahadrin. Everybody wants to be Mahadrin, you should know. Sounds very good, right? That's the best. But what is the best thing to do? And who decides what's Mahadrin? So I gave you before one definition of Mahadrin. That there are as most poskim as possible who are okay. Who said so? So I'm giving you fresh news from, I don't know, maybe you read in the web, from Israel. The Rabbanim of Tzohar, together with the major Rabbanim in the Dati Lumi community, meaning Rav Tzvanya Drori, Rav Dov Lior, Rav Yaakov Ariel, they announced that they will give a certificate of Kashrut to Heter Mechira products. And Rabbanim of Tzohar, which is a rabbinic organization of Dati Lumi rabbis in Israel, who are in a few conflicts today with the Rabbanut HaRashid, they announced that they will provide certificates that declare this as Mahadrin. And next to the Matei Yehuda certificate, it will be signed by all the Rabbanim of Torah. This is better than not Heter Mechira. When I'll return now to my father's approach, if the Rabbanut will not give even a Hechsher to Heter Mechira, there's nobody to eat it. And if there's nobody to eat it, perhaps you have to reconsider your policy in your house. I can tell you, if you ask, who do I have to think of? You asked that before. Do I have to think of myself? Do I have to think of the farmer? I personally changed my perspective when I started working with the Kibbutz HaDati. My first Shemitah in the Kibbutz HaDati was in Tovshin Nun Dalet, three Shemitahs ago. And then I said to myself, this is ridiculous. I will not eat their tomato, but if they don't do Heter Mechira, they'll collapse economically. I mean, I felt it's not moral to do so. And so I would say that regarding the questions of general policy in Shemitah, which are raised over here, one question is, whom is my responsibility? Is it towards myself, having the best, highest standard, I would say, halachically okayed by as many halachic authorities, food? Or is it part of my halachic considerations to think of social questions, to think of economical issues, to think of the farmers? Is that halakha too? What is that Mahadrin? Is this Mahadrin? When I will add that to the debate today in Israel, I'm not talking politics, I'm just describing what people are thinking, in a state of conflict with the Palestinian Authority, and there is a conflict, parts of southern Israel are bombed daily by Palestinians, Sderot, in the holy area there, there are people who raise that issue too. They say to themselves, perhaps, supporting our enemies is also a halacha, not to support enemies is also a halacha consideration. Well, I'll say it differently, now I'll state it not as policy or ideology, but as halacha consideration. Lo techunem is the aim that Eretz Yisrael should belong to the people of Israel, Tzav Yisrael. But is that only achieved lo techunem by not selling it to them? Perhaps if I do a mechira of the karka to a guy in order to enable Jewish farmers to continue working the land, maybe by that I'm leaving the land more by Jews, and perhaps not doing the Heter Mechira is giving the goyim a more achizah in the karka. Now, these are questions which are asked out loud. So this is, one issue at stake. What are my halacha considerations? And the second that I mentioned, and I think that something has changed under the leadership of Rebbe Yashiv, I don't think it was so in the past, and perhaps it's part of a broader maybe shift or change in the place of the Haredi community within Israel. They're growing, they're a strong and influential community, and there's also other sides to it. They're more part of Israeli society today, for sure. And The question is, do I build something independent for myself and I let everybody else be on a different level? Or do I try to impose it upon others when I want to, I'll mention again, there's a price to demanding that everybody else that have that higher level. I'll mention another factor, which is very evident, it reached the news already, that the price of vegetables is higher now in Israel. It went up severely in September. I don't know how much you sell here, a pound of tomatoes, but a kilo of cucumbers I've seen in Dafka in the Shefashuk, I've seen last week, cost 9 shekel. It's a very high price, if you're familiar with prices in Israel. And it hit the news already. People are saying, why is this happening to us? Meaning that there are voices with Israeli society blaming Shemitah for causing people, I want to repeat, people who had the material would be sufficient for them, but blaming the current situation where people are trying to raise the standard of kashrut to a state where maybe people prefer the lower standard and they're not ready to pay the money for that. Maybe some don't have the money also. Yes, please.
So this point, and your previous point about
it's a good question. I'll repeat. I'm not an economic expert. I just brought you numbers I heard from the person who's in charge of it in the Ministry of Agriculture, so I can't give you more details than what I've heard from him. From what I understand, most of what's imported is wheat. Most of the wheat in Israel is imported, and a lot of it's from the U.S. Right. And most of it is from the U.S. That's what I know. Regarding the fruits and vegetables, fresh fruits and vegetables, they're grown within the area of Israel. What you ask, you should know, people ask themselves too in Israel. I mean, I'll describe to you before, perhaps how people don't want to buy Nachri. I've seen people relate to the hechsher of the Badatz with Nachri as if it's Macholas Asuris too. Meaning, if they relate to Hetem Mechira like Macholas Asuris, I've seen people with big kippot srugot who say, Nachri is Macholas Asuris too, you know. I told them, in my house we decided we'll try to buy from Otsar Haaretz, but if, I'll describe to you their problem soon too. But I'm not going to make a point that, you know, the Nachri is trace, you know, it's really what we're doing. And somebody asked me, and what do I do every year? And I want to tell you, in most years, people aren't aware of this issue at all. People don't know where it comes from. You go to the supermarket, you just buy it. What I do think, even without being involved in all the details, we have to realize that the policy of not buying Hetzer Mechira means that even though, or not even being able to sell it to anybody, means that if in a regular year there's a certain percentage of vegetables from Jewish growers and from non-Jewish growers, not allowing Hetzer Mechira means that everything will come from the non-Jews. Meaning I think the healthiest solution would have been, and this is getting us very close to Otsar Haaretz, I'll describe it soon, that the percentages of all years will continue during Shemitah. What's happening is that the different attitudes during Shemitah are changing those numbers, and the policy of anti-Hetzer Mechira is bringing to the fact that, it's, that the Jewish farmers, if they will not be able to sell their products, so that they'll collapse. And therefore the question is raised again, do I have to consider it or not? Okay, so till now we described, I'm repeating two questions. One is, how do I define Mahadrin? What do I have to think of? And the second one is, for myself or for everybody. Now, what I feel is this year is different in Shemitah, and this I think is something very fundamental. Perhaps it touches maybe the roots of the attitude to halacha and to psak, is the reservations against Hetzer Mechira within the Dati Lumi community. If the Haredi community is opposed to Hetzer Mechira because there are poskim who don't okay it, there are Dati Lumi poskim who recommend not to use Hetzer Mechira for the, I would say, opposite reason. Because the idea of Hetzer Mechira is to avoid Shemitah. The idea of Hetzer Mechira is to take a land which could be chayav in Shemitah and to make it to potter from Shemitah. Now this is rooted and a certain view of Shemitah. You will see in most Hechsherim in Israel, when they give a Hechsher to tell you that there's no Shemitah problem, so they write the Lochshash, Tevel, Orla, and then they write the following words, which I find it makes me shiver, Lochshash Shvis. Now, when you write on something Lochshash Shvis, how do you view Shvis? What is Shemitah in your eyes? It's an Isser. It's an Isser that I have to avoid. I bought a few weeks ago in the supermarket celery, and it said on the bag, I raised before the Mahadrin question. Well, this was Mahadrin min ha-Mahadrin. You know why? It wasn't from Nochri. It wasn't from Hetzer Bechira. It was from the best possible place to eat in Shemitah. From Chutz La'aretz. And I don't know what is Chutz La'aretz in their eyes and where it came from. But Chutz La'aretz is the best place to keep Shemitah because there's no Shemitah. And Shemitah, the way I described it before, is portrayed by this community as an Isser. And I want to avoid it. So one way to avoid it is Tzum Nochri. Better way is Chutz La'aretz. And in Kamor, if it's a Eretz Yisrael and doesn't belong to him, so maybe I can do a Heter Mechira. But there are voices, and Rav Weichmann was the first one to raise it publicly, perhaps to a more thought of it, in the Shemitah of Tav Shin Mem Zayin, 1987, 21 years ago, when he was the Rav of Kibbutz Kfar Etzion, and that is to try to enable Jewish agriculture in Shemitah, but not through avoiding Kedushas Ha'aretz and Shviz, but through, even though the Kedusha retained, to continue working the land. And here they took the following halachic solution, a category called Otsar Beisin, which is considered today in the Dati Lumi community the best way to keep Shemitah. I have to say honestly that it's not so clear that they're right. The idea of Otsar Beisin is you're not allowed in Shemitah to work the land and sell it. You make it hefker. So the idea of what's our based in is that we will take the farmers and we will make them representative workers of the based in when the name of the community collect the fruit, and then you give it out, you distribute it. And then it's mutter, and what the based in will pay the farmers is their expenses. Meaning no profit, but no loss. Okay. Now this, heter of what's our based in, does not apply to all malachot, as you mentioned now. It's only a solution for collecting fruit which grows on trees from year to year. And therefore, Otsar Beisin cannot be a solution for all the agriculture, meaning you have to continue Hetzer Mechira for, in other words in English, help me there, Chachnati, meaning with planting it every year. It's annuals, okay? You need, it's no solution. And therefore you have to continue the Hetzer Mechira, but Otsar Beisin
helps the fruits.
And Rav Weichmann first applied it on the Matzaim, on the fruit trees of Kibbutz Kfar Etzion and Shemitah in 1987. Now I'm saying, even though it's considered by many Dati Lumi people as the best solution, it's not mentioned in the Mishnah, it's only mentioned in Tosefta, it's not brought in the Rambam, Hilchos Shemitah v'Yovel. And it's not so clear that it's definitely the better solution. Well, here you touch on the second question regarding Otsar Beisin. Not only is it okay halachically, but how do you really do it practically? Meaning, how do you differentiate from a regular year where the kibbutz raises it and sells it and gets a profit to a year where they're appointed by the Beisin to be their shlichim and they will cover all their expenses? I can tell you that practically it's not so clear. I was in a Knesset of Rabbanim about Shemitah, and the Rabbi of Kfar Etzion today, Rabbi Yosef Knoll, has presented the Otsar Beisin, and he was heavily attacked. It doesn't seem different than any other year. And he did not give very clear answers, I must say so, honestly. Somehow they try to assess what are the expenses, and they try to cover it, but Lamaise, it doesn't look very different than as another year. In the same way I mentioned before, but after Mechira there are questions done properly, the same question should be asked about Otsar Beisin, is it done properly.
Are you saying that the price of the thing is equivalent to the regular market price, and therefore that's why it's special?
There's a problem.
Correct.
Because, I mean, there are ways in the 21st century to determine what the costs are. There's activity-based costs,
also the counting methods.
There's one thing I can tell you, they're more expensive in the supermarket. Okay? Does that answer your question? They're more expensive, yeah. So the answer to your question? I mean, it's supposed to be less than every year because I want to cover, well, I'll say the following. Can also basically work with a supermarket, you know, can it work? Now, I'll describe to you a little practice. What does it mean in Otzer Basin? It's grown by Jewish farmers. It's picked by Jewish farmers. But to say so is not so clear, because Jews don't like to work in black labor, you know, in agriculture. I mentioned Kfar Etzion. I'm talking about this because I know the details. Kfar Etzion, the kibbutzim, they have land, and they have mataim, you know, and they have the so-called gadash, meaning they have wheat fields. You know how many members of kibbutz Kfar Etzion work in the agriculture?
Two.
One. The one who hires the kablan who brings the workers from Kiryat Malachi, you know, and all these Ethiopian olim, and they do all the work. There's one person in the kibbutz who is in charge of the whole gadash. Everybody else works in there. They have a factory, you know, for bulletproof beds. They have a factory. They work outside, you know. Yeah, you can live in a kibbutz and work in any profession. As long as you bring a paycheck, they're happy with it. Meaning, if it's an agricultural society, they still have some values which are attached to the land. And don't think that it's totally detached. But you have to realize that the people who are going to pay the price are the simple people from Kiryat Malachi. I can tell you that I know this from first hand. What efforts Rabbi Yosef Kno made that implementing Otzer Basin will not cause those Jewish workers to be fired. Meaning he did have in mind, how do I keep their jobs during Shemitah? I mean, it's very nice to be Machmer in Shemitah and somebody else would lose his job, you know. I mean, they shouldn't pay the price of Shemitah, just because we think it's nicer. Again, it goes back to the question, what do I have to have in front of my eyes? But Otzer Basin means it's grown by Jews, and therefore it has Kedushas Shvi'it. Now what does that mean? It means that you're not allowed to sell it. You're not allowed to sell it. And you're not allowed to use it in usage, which is not its regular usage. You can only use it for eating and the way it has to be done, and therefore the leftovers have to be saved in an honorable way. They cannot be thrown in the garbage can. And therefore people who eat from Otzer Basin and have to, in their house, have a separate bin. We were told by Rav Rimon not to call it a garbage can. It's a gneza from my cucumber peels and from my leftover salad, because we don't finish everything we put on our plate. And you put it aside, and the same way we do with Trumas and Mice, if you wait until it runs, and then you can throw it in the garbage can. Now, how do you overcome in the supermarket the issue of chora? Here I can tell you there are different methods I've seen. In one supermarket I went to, you choose your 12 tomatoes, you bring it to the scale, they take one off, they weigh 11, and you only pay an 11. So you, pay for less than what you took. Another supermarket I did, the computer radios was programmed, take 5% off the weight. I mean, you weigh everything, but you don't pay for actually the value, that gives like the... Some Poles can think that's considered to give it out, to distribute it. Meaning you don't pay for the fruit, you pay for the labor or to cost the expenses. The psak the Rabbanim had given was not to pay with cash, only credit card. Because in Israel, your credit card bill only goes out once a month. And therefore, you didn't pay for it, you know, you took credit. Rabbi Aima Cohen in the grocery store in Otniel gave a different order, not to weigh it. He told the owner of the store to prepare ready-made boxes of fruits and vegetables, and you take a box. So it's like giving up. It's distributed by the owner, and then you pay them, you know, for the expenses. It's questionable. Can you really sell in a supermarket in a way that you're not selling? That's really the question.
So is the supermarket allowed to make a profit on it, or is it not allowed?
The big sign of the supermarket that the prices are not set by the supermarket owner; they are fixed by the Otzer Basin, and he gets the orders from the Beit Din, how much to charge.
So they have different prices from the Beit Din and the other stuff?
Well, in the supermarket that you have bought, they only sell those SARRs, so there's only one set price. I did not see a supermarket with both yet. I did not see it.
What about Kobo? A little Makoto?
I don't know. I didn't check all of them, okay?
And years ago, I remember there were different bins, and one said this and one said that.
Could be. What I see now is there's one option in each supermarket. You choose a supermarket, but there's one option. and it says big sign, we didn't set the prices. Now, in order for Otar Beit Din to work, you need people who are ready to have Kedushat Shvi'it in their house, to want to cooperate. And I can tell you that even though Rav Weitman for years has been pushing forward the idea of Otar Beit Din, last Shemitah, when he convinced Snuva to do it, people did not want to buy Otar Beit Din, and people did not want the tzedek. And Snuva lost on the potatoes, he told me, 8 million shekels. Which again, in dollars now, is $2 million. And that convinced Rav Weitman that unless you convince the larger community to cooperate, there's no chance, and he basically went to the Etzem Mechira. What they did this year, the Otzar Beit Din of Otzar Haaretz, which I've mentioned before, from Machon Otzar Haaretz, they tried to sell memberships to the Otzar Beit Din, meaning you commit yourself ahead that you will buy from the Otzar Beit Din, and they've sold, from what have I heard from the manager there, 80,000 memberships for Otzar Beit Din. It means 80,000 households in Israel who declared that they want to buy Otzar Beit Din, and you pay ahead of time 600 shekel, which is 50 shekel a month, every month from my credit card. They take down 50 shekel, you get a coupon to buy Perot Shvi'it. Now, in 1 week I eat much more than 50 shekel of fruits and vegetables in my house. You know, I mean, 3 salad bags, you know, and 2 kilo of cucumbers and tomatoes already more than 50 shekel. But it's like creating a certain atmosphere, and it seems like people are responsive. And it seems like there's a community who wants Otzar Beit Din, and what I feel is behind it is that people want it Shvi'it not as an Isser. People want Shvi'it as a positive concept. They want it as a Kiyum. They want to feel it. I can tell you that my mother told me a week ago when she was like sharing with me this experience of a Kedushat Shvi'it in your kitchen. She said, you know, perhaps that's how Kohanim made Truma all year round. And it creates this sense that there's a positive, I would even say, sense that v'achilu lifnei Hashem when you eat peros v'kedushat shvi'it. And I think that perhaps it's not accidental that one of the major differences now regarding kashrut in Israel between the Haredi and the Dati Lumi community, it's not around that they're more makpid and more shittot and we're less, but that it's a totally different perspective of how to relate to Avodas Hashem. I have a relative who's Haredi that his son is learning now in the Bris Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. He told his son during Chol HaMoed Sukkot he should not go to the Old City, he should not go to the Kotel. He said, why? You know, it's Chol HaMoed, you know, Aliyah L'Regel. He said, look, you know, the Mishnah says in Sukkah that the mitzvah of Mikdash, of Lulav B'Mikdash is called Sheva Midoraisa, and in Medina Yom Echad. Now the machlokas between Rambam and Rashi, where to include Yerushalayim. The Rambam says Yerushalayim is like Mikdash, and therefore in Yerushalayim the mitzvah of Lulav is called Sheva Midoraisa, and Rashi says that Yerushalayim is part of Medina, and it's only Midrabanan, so the Takan of Yochanan and Zakai. So his father told him that if he will go to the Kotel on Chol HaMoed, he might be mischayev midoraisa in the mitzvah of Dalad meeting according to the Rambam. And we said to him, so what's wrong with that? So, be kind of mitzvah doraisa. He said, but maybe my lulav and esrog are not kosher enough halachically. So he said to him, so what do you do on Yom Tov Rishon? He said, Yom Tov Rishon, I have no choice. You know, I can't run away from the mitzvah. Meaning, I have to do the mitzvah in any case. And, I mean, he's only 19-year-old, so I couldn't argue with him, but I told him, you know, your Avodas Hashem is an Avodah Meirah. When you're Mekayim Mitzvah, what do you have in your mind? Maybe I'm not Mekayim there. Reminded me of a wonderful story that the Ritvaz from Slutsk was told over when he visited Voloshin in the 1860s, in the few years that the Netziv and Rabbi Yosha Ber Beis Halevi, I've mentioned him before, were the Kor Rosh Yeshiva in Voloshin. And he spent Pesach there, and he went the first night to the Netziv Seder. The Netziv had the whole yeshiva at his table. They came home from the davening, the besimcha, they sat down and they told over the Sipritius Mitzrayim. There was a lot of singing, a lot of happiness, and a lot of a feeling of closeness to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The next night he went to Rabbi Yosher Ber's Seder. First of all, Rabbi Yosher Ber waited for his man Rabbeinu Tam to start the Seder. Now when you're a brisker, Rabbeinu Tam is the longest possible Rabbeinu Tam. It's 2 hours after Shkia, it's the Zekto, it's the sixth of the day. And then he wants to make Chatzot. So he rushed through the Agada, and he said when he reached Matzah, the Matzahs were totally burned, they were like almost not edible, and the Maror was large portions of Maror. And as a Ritvaz, as told over this two-starmy experience, he like presented two ways of Avodas Hashem. And to some extent, it reflects its Avodah Meyira, or its Avodah Me'ava. And an approach that sees Halacha as Yisurim. An approach that sees the ability to go to the Kotel and the Notel Lulav as a posing a problem to you is Avodah Meyira. Your inner religious experience when you mekayim a mitzvah is chashash, maybe I wasn't mekayim it. Now, I respect for that approach. I realize it comes from deep Yirat Shamayim and from a deep will to mekayim ratzon Hashem. But here we see on the other hand a different approach, which is seeing the mitzvot not as Yirat Hashem but as Avas Hashem. The mitzvot are a platform which enable us to get closer to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And through the mitzvot, we worship the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And we're happy for that opportunity. And we want more mitzvot. We want to be closer to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And over here, I think what's reflected, that the different approaches in Shemitah maybe show us that it's not only a matter of more makpid or less makpid, it's a matter of different ideologies which go down or to the roots of how do you approach halacha. I was told many times in yeshiva by my father that the differences between the Haredi community and the worldview that we were taught in yeshiva does not have to deal with your approach to halacha, the psak. I remember him saying many times that every posek has to go through two processes. One process is his learning the halachic categories and concepts, and the second is implementing them in actual life. And the differences may be on your evaluation of reality. The example you always brought, you say halal yom ha'atzmaut or not. The machloket is not on the categories of halal, they're on how to relate to the state of Israel. But I feel that maybe here through the mitzvot atlis baritz, our relationship to Eretz Yisrael, perhaps we see that the differences are also ideological. Meaning at stake is not only how do I value the reality, do I think it's good or bad, how do I relate to a certain phenomena. It's really in the deep roots of how do I want to view my connection to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And perhaps there are different approaches. I want to minimize perhaps the cases that there are, but I do feel that they exist. And we are witnessing today in Eretz Yisrael, I think, maybe too ambitious to call it renaissance, but among the Dati Lumi community, there is a trend of people who want to view halacha and shemitah and mitzvot in a positive way to get them closer to God, a avodas Hashem me'ava, not only me'ira. Yes, please. Please. You're right.
So the first two actions, in terms of maintaining the Kshetshvi, are no better than
I'll say this, okay? I got the hint. You're right. I mean, I should have mentioned it before. What the Tzar HaAretz is seeking is, on the one hand, to enable Jewish agriculture, but to try to do it through a maximum observance of the halachot of Shemitah. And what they offer, I don't remember the right order. I can describe to you as a consumer, what's the first thing you bump into the supermarket, and that is you're already seeking Kshetshvi. Well, they are going in a few solutions. One is, the best is Shishi. And you're right, that's not keeping Shemitah. But with all the non-fresh vegetables, Hatzar Haaretz is giving to now to the Lachim Shishi. Then they have what's so-called Matzah Minutak, meaning from tables, which halachically is Atzichein Yon Akub, it's not considered part of Eretz Israel. They have from parts of Eretz Israel, of Medinat Israel, which are halachically Potter from Mitzvot Le'Avar, because they're not in the Gvulot of the Kedusha Rishni, only Kedusha Rishon, that's Aravad Rumi. That's also questionable. There are machlokot about it. And the big, and then have what's our Beit Din. There was a machloket last year, you should know, a very big machloket, if Otsar Haaretz would supply Heter Mechira. You should know that last year on Tu Bishvat, I was in a big Kenneth of Machon Otsar Haaretz, and they then announced that they're not going to give Heter Mechira. Then they, what I described to you did not exist yet. I mean, then they still wanted to incorporate more, to appeal, I would say, to the community who doesn't want Heter Mechira. And there was a lot of, I don't know what it's called, politics, but a lot of debates among the Rabbanim, and so they have decided essentially to include Heter Mechira, but to give you the information, and they will have like two lines, you can buy Heter Mechira or not. Now even though what you said perhaps minimizes what I was trying to say, because here they have more options, you have to realize that it's rooted in what I mentioned before. You cannot supply everything more to a basement. There's a limit on what you can give it. So actually you have to seek more solutions. But I'm just sharing my feeling that ideologically the statement of what's our basing. I mentioned there at Weizmann 7 years ago, they lost $2 million of potatoes because people didn't buy it. Today people are buying it. Today there's a sense that people want what's our basing. In my community in Beit Shemesh, almost everybody joined it. People run to buy it. Now, it started a lot of problems, you should know. The first 2 weeks, it's the worst time of the year to start Shemitah, is during Yom Tovim. You buy a lot of fruits and vegetables. There was no, they did not have enough supplies in the stores. The quality was low quality. You know, people like were walking around and saying, you know, we want to eat something, you know. And if it doesn't work out, we're not going to buy it. It seems now, I don't know what's going to be in the future, that they somehow stabilized it. Now, I was in the supermarket and Erev Shabbos Chol HaMoed, and the person in charge of the vegetables, it was hysterical because by mistake they doubled the order. And the whole entrance to the supermarket was boxes full of fruits and vegetables. He couldn't even take track of what they delivered. He wanted to check the order. And everybody was telling him, so we'll have what to eat, you know. But I think the reason for having more is because what they're basing is a minimized category eventually. But there is a new spirit, I would say, among the community. The people want to be of the Hashem Yahava, and perhaps I would suggest that this is some reflection of Torah Eretz Yisrael, meaning in Chutz La'aretz, you can avoid a lot of mitzvot. You can be very firm. But if you want to get closer to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the closeness is in the Chalat Hashem, in the Eretz Asher Yinei Hashem Elokecha Ba, and that you're actually living there, also gets you closer to him. I don't know all the details. What I can tell you is that today in Yerushalayim, there is no hechsher for hotels who will buy Heter Mechira. Now, where will Mateyu Dach fit in? I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen. In most of the country, you can find hechsher with a regular rabbi, which will bring Heter Mechira. Besides those six cities, that they refuse. Now, in your restaurant, you have to check who you are, what they do. And I didn't go to a restaurant since Rosh Hashanah, so I don't know.
But
it's
kind of same that there are vegetables in
the
yotzah.
Huh?
There's vegetables in
the yotzah? There are vegetables in the yotzah, which were picked after Rosh Hashanah, and they have kedusha shvi. But
there's always a stichim because...
I can tell you that I was at a bris on Yudalos Tishrei, Masuot Yitzchak. The Rabbi Masoot Yitzchak got up at the bris and announced that the vegetables are Heter Mechira, but he's telling all those who don't rely upon Heter Mechira that since they grew in Shishis, they only picked in Shvi'is, so therefore there's definitely no Yitzchak speaking, so everybody can eat it. Now what's going to happen in a few months? Will this split families? Will people not eat one from the other? I don't know, it's hard to predict. Okay? I just don't know. Yes, please. Hold this.
There's another question for the appreciate the responsibility for making it here. I'd say that it's going to be a question for local reform. You were saying sort of like, was the other way around, but it was refused.
No, what I'm saying is that the Rabbanut has established a department who is in charge of doing the Hetzer Mechira, and the local Rabbanim have the autonomy to decide that they want to rely upon what was done by the Rabbanut itself. And there are six cities where the Rabbanim decided that they will not include that in Hetzer. I don't know if they did not have the option. I do know that it did not happen. Meaning, maybe because they didn't want to, maybe because they couldn't. But
in the Haredi world here, there's a big movement to raise money, what they call Karen Shiras. And I had to sacrifice to help farmers for Shiras. There's a big article about the transitions over the factors. They were trumpeting some individual farmers and it was hard to tell where they're coming from. Not from. They had a whole series of, you know, of profiles of farmers that they'd convinced to keep sheep they were hustling sheep. Not just the way it's supposed to be. Who are those people? I mean, what kind of farm? I mean, some of the exporters, you know, but probably any kinds of family farmers that do that.
I don't know. I can't answer the question because I don't know. I can tell you that in my garden I keep Shemitah. I have fruit trees in my garden. The Rav would always tell over Reb Chaim had a dream to be Mekayim Mitzvah Shatluyas Baretz. So the day we planted the trees, we took out the Rav's Rosh Hashanah Chamesh Rashot. I read it to my kids. And we all said it together, Reb Chaim, Mi Yigal Ofer Me'inecha, that we're fulfilling your dream. In my garden, you're allowed to do what ukume ilana, not avruya ilana, meaning whoever can preserve, you're allowed to preserve, not to develop. And therefore we water a little less, meaning no reason for the grass should turn yellow, but we make sure that the grass should keep living, and we told the gardener not to develop anything, only to preserve. And I've seen signs already on a private vino where it said, Hefker, Shviz, come in and take it. But my parnassa doesn't depend upon my fig tree and my lemon tree. So it's a nice thing to do. And when you're living depends upon that, it's a totally different story. Okay? I thank you all. I would just like, with your permission, two more sentences. I saw at the mail that you distributed, you wrote that I'm currently at Ramad Yeshiva Otniel, and lecturer at Herzl College in Migdal Oz. I would just like to say two words about my transferring to Otniel. The Hezer Yeshiva in Otniel is one of the big Hezer Yeshiva today in Israel. The Yeshiva has 360 Israeli students, and I find myself very happy to be there, very comfortable there. I know that you and Tina, usually I don't give a talk about policy and ideology. I give a lumbus shashir, and I think that you know what I represent here, and I find that it has a lot of room there, and I'm very happy to be in the company of the yeshiva there. I can tell you about the shift that I feel that I am like with an orchestra. I'm playing the same fiddle. The fiddle I played in the past, I'm continuing to play Gemara B'Yun in a broad sense, but I'm playing with different musicians who have different instruments, and therefore the harmony or the sound that comes out is a little different, and I even feel that I'm discovering new voices within myself. And one of the major things that characterize the yeshiva there is that beside a very serious emphasis on learning in depth and having a very strong Beis Medrash with a lot of hasmada and deeper understanding of the Torah, there's also a very deep sense of spirituality and a quest for meaning in the learning, that it should not only be something abstract, intellectual, but something that somebody implements within himself, and a call to every student to go through a personal growth process. And there's a reason why it's so popular among Israeli youth. And things that I mentioned here about this quest for Avodas Hashem Me'ava, not only in the era, is one of the major, I would say, voices which come out of that Beit Midrash. And I hope that in the future you will hear the voice of the yeshiva here in America too. And we will find a crowd here that will find that voice meaningful for them. Thank you very much. Good evening.
Yes. 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 Y